The Bottomless Pit, a study by Mike Vinson. Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. If Satan is bound 1,000 years, what will life be during that 1,000 years? And what and where is this bottomless pit? The rulership of this period will be in the hands of God's elect and faithful saints, as the very next verse affirms in verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, nor had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And what will be the character of the government of the faithful elect saints at that time? Revelation 2, verses 26 and 27. And he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. The world will not be the same, and life will not be the same during the millennium. Life during the millennium will be much more like Israel's life during their wilderness experience. Israel was ruled with a rod of iron. All rebellion and lawlessness was quashed immediately. When Miriam and Aaron spoke out against Moses, Miriam was struck with leprosy, and the whole camp had to wait until Miriam could be cleansed and come back into the camp. When Korah and the 250 elders of the people rebelled and threatened to take Israel back to Egypt, the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them. I'm not saying that this is what will be done then. I'm not saying people will be fed with manna or that they'll live in the desert. All I'm talking about is the rod of iron aspect of Israel's existence in the wilderness. We are not given details. What we are told is this in Revelation 2, 26 and 27. And he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessel of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. But there's one big difference between how things are now and how they were in ancient Israel and how they will be during the millennium. And that difference is that Satan, who is now by God's design free to deceive the nations, will not at that time be free to do so. In John's epistle, he makes this statement in 1 John 2, verses 13 and 14. I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Twice we're told that the young men have overcome the wicked one. During the millennium, there will be no wicked one to overcome. Why do I say that? Here's why. Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So here is all we know for certain. 1. Satan is bound 1,000 years. 2. Satan is cast into the bottomless pit. 3. A seal is placed on Satan so that he cannot deceive the nations until the 1,000 years are expired. And 4. He that overcomes will rule the nations with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. So Satan is in prison in this bottomless pit for the entire time. But what is this bottomless pit? Where is Satan during this time? The bottomless pit, just like heaven, is a spiritual realm within the hearts and minds of mankind. Heaven is not a geographical location, and neither is the bottomless pit. When Christ was taken up into heaven, and a cloud received him out of their sight, those with eyes to see understand that what we're being told in that statement is that Christ went into his cloud of witnesses. In other words, Christ went into his disciples. Here's the second half of Matthew 28:20. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He did not travel billions of light years to another planet called heaven. Here are the scriptures. Acts 1:9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And what is this cloud? Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. A cloud received him out of their sight. Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So wherever Christ is, he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now exactly where is the right hand of the throne of God? Where did Christ tell he was going to be during this time that he is at the right hand of the throne of God? John 14:2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. Christ went to his Father's house to prepare a place for us. He is in God's house. And where is God's dwelling place? Where is God's house? Ephesians 2:22, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:19, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? 1 Corinthians 3:17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. We are God's dwelling place, the place of his throne, and his temple where he receives our sacrifices. 1 Peter 2:5. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And what is spiritual sacrifice? Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now what about all those who do not have God dwelling in them, sitting on his own rightful throne in the temple of their bodies? What is on that throne if Christ is not there? Who is sitting on the throne which rightfully belongs to Jesus Christ? Revelation 13, verses 1 through 4. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him power, and his seat, that's the Greek word throne or thronos, the same word used in Matthew 3:24, but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. Verse 2, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth were as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him power, and his seat, throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? All who are without Christ, in them ruling on the throne of God in their hearts, worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast. Does anyone who is worshipping the beast admit to worshipping the beast? Of course not. We are told that Satan entered into Judas, and then Christ told Judas, that you do quickly. John 13:27. And after the sop, Satan entered into him, and then Jesus said unto him, that you do quickly. Did Judas at that point think, I am now the son of perdition. Wow, I'm in an awful spiritual spot. I sure hope Christ will forgive me for what I'm about to do to him. Is that what it is like to be deceived? No, it's not. Here is what it's like to be deceived. Matthew 24:24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. A deceived person can often think he is God's very elect and cannot be deceived. I am well aware that if I were deceived, I would not be aware of it. That is why we're told how to recognize God's true prophets. It is not by their wisdom or their enticing words. 1 Corinthians 2:4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. How do we recognize them? It is by their fruit. It is by what proceeds out from that throne where Christ ought to be seated. It is what proceeds from the heart that tells us who is and who is not deceived. These are words spoken in the demonstration of Spirit and of power. It is knowing the voice of the true shepherd and seeing the fruits of the Spirit that keeps the very elect from deception. John 10:4-5. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So what is meant by Revelation 11:7-8? And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. What is this beast doing in the bottomless pit, while the two witnesses are witnessing against the great city? The 1,000 years has not even started yet, much less been completed. And here we have the beast, which gets his power and seat, or throne, his seat and great authority from the dragon, ascending out of the bottomless pit, where Satan will be imprisoned during the 1,000 years. What and where is this bottomless pit? This bottomless pit is just as much a symbol as any other symbol in the book of Revelation. This symbol concerns the dwelling place of the dragon who gives the beast his power and seat and great authority. That dwelling place of the dragon is the heavens of the beast. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The word places is not in the Greek, and the Greek word translated high is epuranios, or heavens. So the rulers of the darkness of this world are the principalities and powers in the heavens. Be sure to read What and Where is Heaven elsewhere on the website and also audioed. And the next verse must also be understood from the point of view of the heavens of the two witnesses in verses 4 and 5 of Revelation 11. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. God's witnesses witness against the spiritually dead in Babylon. In doing so, God's witnesses spiritually kill those who would hurt them. Revelation 11, verse 5. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. This killed is accomplished through the fire of the word of God. Jeremiah 5, verse 14. Wherefore thus says the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in your mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. These are spiritual words. God's witnesses are not guilty of physical murder. John 6:63, it is the spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So likewise, when we read that the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them, this statement too symbolizes those who would hurt God's witnesses. The beast which ascends out of the bottomless pit is the same beast who receives his power and seat and great authority from the dragon. Those who have just been killed by God's witnesses are no more aware of their spiritual death than are the dead who are burying their dead. Matthew 8:21 and 22. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. The spiritually dead Christ referred to were the followers of the scribes and Pharisees of Christ's day. They certainly did not see themselves as killing God's witnesses. John 8:22. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself because he says, whither I go, you cannot come? These people were not aware of the murder that was in their own hearts. The point is that these events, the killing of those who would hurt God's elect, and the killing of God's elect by those who would hurt them, are both taking place in the heavens, in the puranios of the principles. The beast in each of us is even now in the bottomless pit, the abusos, which is also the quote-unquote high places of the principalities and powers of this world in each of us. Let's look now where this word appears, and see how God's Spirit has inspired this word to be used. If you search for the phrase bottomless pit, you will find it 7 times. It is only found in the book of Revelation, and here are those 7 entries. Revelation 9, verses 1 and 2. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Revelation 9:11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and that Hebrew word means destroyer, Strong's number 11, but in the Greek tongue has his name Apollyon. Revelation 11:7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, The beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Revelation 17:8. The beast that you saw was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Revelation 20:1-3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of that dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. What do we see here with these 7 verses containing the words bottomless pit? Only twice is the Greek word for pit associated with the word translated bottomless pit. Those 2 times where the Greek word for pit is used are the first 2 verses of Revelation 9. The word translated pit in those 2 verses in the Greek word is P-H-R-E-A-R, frere. Strong number 5421. The other 5 times, this phrase bottomless pit appears in the book, as it appears in the book of Revelation, is translated from a single Greek word, abusos, strong number 12. What is so interesting is that when you research this word abusos, strong number 12, you will find it appear more than 7 times. The word abusos appears 9 times, and it is those 2 extra times where the meaning of this word is made clear. And here they are. Luke 8:31, and they, the demons named Legion, besought him, Christ, that he would not command them to go out into the deep, into the abusos. The demons much prefer to be enthroned in God's church rather than to be sent into the deep sea of mankind. Like all of us, demons want to be where the action is, and where the action is where God's people are being deceived. Demons seek rest in dry places, places on the earth, preferably in God's very temple and sitting on Christ's throne. Matthew 12:43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Luke 11:24. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walks through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return unto my house whence I came out. Demons do not like the quote-unquote deep. They very much prefer dry places where they can find rest and feel at home, just as Christ ought to be feeling within each of us. Now let's look at the only entry of this word abusos, which we have not yet considered. It is this entry which will reveal to us where the bottomless pit is located. Romans 10:6-8. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise, say not in your heart who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, the abusos, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what says it? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Now look at how the word translated deep or abusos is translated when we go back to the Old Testament and see from whence Romans 10:7 is quoted. We go to Deuteronomy 30:11-14. For this commandment which I command you this day is not hidden from you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. But the word, i.e. Christ, is very near unto you, and in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. So where is the abusos? The abusos, the bottomless pit, just like heaven, is not way out beyond the Milky Way. The abusos, just like heaven, is within each of us. So that when Satan is cast into the abusos and is imprisoned with the chain mentioned in Revelation 20, he doesn't go anywhere. He's simply under house arrest until the time appointed to be released from the abusos and commissioned to go forth and deceive the nations again. According to Deuteronomy 30, both the abusos and heaven are very near unto you, in your mouth and in your heart. Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. To understand why Satan is to be loosed after 1,000 years, read the prophetic sequence of events on the website. And it's also been audioed. Who then is responsible for the abusos and all that occurs therein? What says the scriptures? Psalms 139, 7 through 12. Whither shall I go from your spirit? Or whither shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hides not from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto you. While it is incumbent upon mere mortals to make distinctions between light and darkness, from the perspective of our Creator, they are but tools in His great sovereign hand. This verse is, in the final analysis, the truth of where Christ is in all of this. Romans 11, verses 33 through 36. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. The all things of Romans 11:36 certainly includes the abusos within every man. Whenever our beast is in the ascendancy, he is ascending up out of the abusos. When Christ is seated on his rightful throne in our hearts, we are sitting with him in the heavens. Revelation 11:7, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. Ephesians 2:6, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places, in the heavens, in Christ Jesus.